Well, slap somebody upside the head and tell them, wake up, man. It's your time to be blessed. This is our time. This is our season to be blessed. 2014 is the best year we're ever going to see. Come on, last year was good, but 2014 is going to be the best year. Come on, it's the best year. Because you know, where are my season changers in this house? Or do I still have some season changers? Come on, because if the season starts to feel a little down, all you have to do is say, I declare and decree my season's changing. Come on. That just wasn't a word for last year. It was to step you into the new season. Come on, I don't want no sad seasons. I want blessed seasons. And I know 2014 is going to be the greatest year we've ever seen. So I just want you to do something. You need to get everything you can out of 2014. I mean, squeeze it till the end of the year. Just squeeze it until you get every drop of oil, every drop of blessing. Come on, every drop of fire from God. Because when you do, oh God, then you go into 2015 in a greater level. Come on. Come on, double perfection this year. Come on. Come on, double doors of favor opening up. Come on, how many can walk into some double doors? Come on. I mean, come on, you got to be a pretty big person to walk through double doors. Come on. But when you carry weight in the spirit, you got to open, somebody's got to open double doors for you to get there. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated if you try to. Amen. Hallelujah. Once again, it's good to be back in the house of God, house of manna. Whew. Let's see, where do I start? I want to talk to you about passion. You know, one of the things is that I find in most churches today that, you know, we can go through the motions so much that we tend to just get complacent. And we lose our passion. Come on. I mean, anybody that's ever been married for a while, sometimes you can lose some passion. I mean, once you were passionate, you had that Pepe Le Pew passion. Remember Pepe Le Pew? He is just like, oh, he was in love with that cat, man. He would chase that cat, do anything. He'd be like, oh, I love you so much. And chasing that cat around. Didn't even know it was a cat. He just thought it was a pretty cat. Thought it was another skunk. Come on, buddy. He see a skunk. He didn't want the skunk. He wanted the cat. Come on, somebody. So sometimes we have that Pepe Le Pew passion. And it's not all about that. But passionate people will do things that other people won't do. Passionate people will fast more than other people will. Come on. Passionate people will pray more than other people will pray. Come on. Passionate people don't worry about if there's a prayer service. They don't say, well, I got something else to do. I got to be at the rodeo. They go after God because, see, it's your passion. See, people will follow passion. Because if you're not passionate about the things of God, people won't follow you in the things of God. See, what happens is people, because most churches aren't passionate, what happens, and I'm not just talking about a building, I'm talking about a people. If they're not passionate, what happens is nobody will follow you because they want to see that you're passionate. They want to see that you have passion. I mean, come on, we can be passionate about the Spurs. There's some people who are passionate about the Spurs. They got the hat on. They got the shirt. They got the, you know, they have the posters up. They have, you know, the workout gear with the Spurs. They got everything. You can be Cowboys. You can be passionate. I mean, you see people that are passionate. We have a team over there in Houston called the Texans. Oh, Lord. If you call them a team, huh? I think we would have been better off going to the Super Bowl and losing against, just like Denver did. Gosh, it looked like they had switched teams all of a sudden. It looked like Matt Schwab was quarterbacking. But people are passionate. But see, 3 years ago or 4 years ago when they were doing really well, I mean, decent, I don't like them. But anyway, when they were doing good, you couldn't say, if you said anything about Matt Schwab at the time, people would bite your head off because people in Houston are passionate about their football. You say, oh, Matt Schwab, he's just, you know, he ain't nothing, he ain't whatever. And everybody's like, oh, don't talk about my quarterback. That's my quarterback. You better not talk about him. That's my team. Kubiak is the best coach in the world. Last year, you mentioned Kubiak's name. They need to kill that guy. I mean, if I see him on the street, I'm going to run him over. I mean, that's passion. People have passion like that. I mean, they'll paint themselves up. You see people that are passionate. You look at a football game, there'll be people in freezing cold weather painting themselves up and cheering. And for what? They ain't got nothing. They spent $1,000 a seat, you know. But that's passion, right? That's passion. And we need, you know, we need to have that passion back in the house. This 2014, we need to have passion back. You need to have some passion to, for God this year. Amen. Let's look at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2. I'll give you some time. If you, when you get it, just shout amen. Hallelujah. How many believe in God for something this morning? I mean, every Sunday morning, you should be believing God. Every Sunday, every morning, every day. I mean, you should ask for fresh manna. Every day I've learned, I said, God, I got to hear from you every day. I can't wait till Sunday. I can't wait till I'm about to preach. I can't wait. I need a word from you every day. Fresh manna. He'll feed you every day, and he'll just say, use what you got that day, and then come and get some more tomorrow, but don't use it all up. Come on, that's what he said. Now, come on, because so after he gives you the word, do it to the best of your ability. Do it with passion. Somebody just look at your neighbor and say, I need passion. Matthew 12, 1 and 2 says, Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Come on, somebody. And the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand, not at the left hand, at the right hand of the throne of God. I believe that life was meant to be enjoyed, as it right here. He said, you got to set away, passionate people set the weight aside. To everything. They're not concerned about the next meal. Come on. They're just concerned about God. See, let me tell you something. There are people that are accepted and there are people that are exceptional. Accepted people are normal people. One of the definitions of being accepted is to accept something, but a lot of people strive just to be accepted. And so they do stuff to be accepted. I know, you know, when I was a kid, I mean, I wanted to hang out with other kids. You know what I mean? I want to be accepted like them. You know, I'll go play football with them. I do whatever. But people do strange things just to be accepted in the normal crowd. See, but exceptional people will do things that people that are just normal, which are accepted people, exceptional people go far beyond. They do stuff that nobody else wants to do. They wake up early and they leave late. Come on, they go to work early and leave late. Come on, they pray longer and stay longer for prayer. They come on, they read their Bible more. But they're set apart. Exceptional people are people that do things that nobody else wants to do. That's why when you'll see people that are far above their years or far above their wisdom and knowledge, it's because they want to be exceptional. They don't want to be just normal. Because anybody can be normal. But exceptional people are passionate people. Exceptional people, you'll know those people because by their fruit. Because they always, you say, wow, that person, they just, you know, they just want to stand out. They stand off to the side. Nobody can touch them because they want to be exceptional. They're tired of being normal. See, because exceptional people are beyond normal. They're abnormal. They're far above. They're just, they go the extra mile to do things that nobody else will do. They will eat more. They'll eat better. They'll drink better. They'll do the things that other people are not willing to do. Now, they become passionate about the things of God. I don't want to be normal. I want to be exceptional. I don't want to be normal. I want to be exceptional. I purpose this year that I want to be, I want to be exceptional. I don't want to be accepted because I can go through life being accepted all day long by people. But I want to be with the exceptional crowd, the set apart crowd. The ones that when everybody, when sin tries to knock at your door, you go, no, man, that's not part of my life. Come on, when people want you to go, they say, well, hey, man, I got tickets to the rodeo. You need to come on, come with me. But we got church that night. See, so what happens is you say, no, I'm exceptional. Because I can be accepted and go with that crowd. I hope I'm not stepping on nobody's toes, because you're a blessed crowd. But see, exceptional people or passionate people will take up their cross daily. And they'll walk. See, many times when we see it, we go to pick up the cross. See, because we always want to be in God's will, but nobody wants to take up the cross. And if you want to be in God's will, you got to take up your cross daily. Come on. Okay, I'm going to bless you in a minute. Just hold up. You're just like, oh, Lord, he's hitting us. That spirit jumped on me. I believe life was meant to be enjoyed. How about you? See, and you know what? It's now watch. Life was meant to be enjoyed. It's an undisputed fact that those who accomplish significant goals enjoy life more than those who do not. So what separates those who make their lives count for the rest of the pack? It's passion. Now, you'll be the first ones to hear this message because I've been working on it a while. So if I go to my notes every now and then, just please excuse me. Making a mark in life has nothing to do with being smarter, more gifted, or having greater opportunity than others. Wasted intelligence, talent, and opportunities are common in life. Come on. Those who make greatest impact in society, whether they're in business, ministry, or arenas, are necessarily not the most gifted or the most talented. It's the ones with passion. See, passion will make an iPad. Passion will create a computer. Passion will create a job. Passion will create a job. Come on, somebody. You're looking for a job. You can create your own job. If you have passion, you can create your own business. You can create your own ministry if you have passion. And people will follow that passion. But most of the time, people miss their opportunity because of lack of passion. They just say, well, I'll just be normal. I'm just going to sit back and coast along like all the other church folk. Come on Sunday. You know, I'm not going to pray. You know, they went into fasting, and that's not for me, brother, because, you know, I got diabetes, so I can't fast. But the fast probably would kill your diabetes. Hello, somebody. So it's not to the most skilled person. It's not to the most skilled or talented. Or the person that gets the most open doors, it's to the one that has the passion for God. Yeah. The one that is passion. Because passion is not the Pepe Le Pew passion. Passion actually means, let me read the correct dictionary term. It actually means, in the English Latin, it means paseo, which paseo, it means suffering. Being acted upon from the Latin pati, which means suffer. Mm-hmm. Passionate people are willing to suffer for what they want. Passionate people don't worry about what everybody else is doing. See, Jesus was one of those people that was passionate about you. He was willing to take people telling him that he was a false prophet, that he was not the Son of God. And he was willing to go to the cross because that passion sent him there. And so basically, it's going to take passion. You need to get your passion back because, like I said, it means to suffer. Bible says after you suffered a little while, strengthen your brother. Come on, somebody. But see, people will give up during the passion time. They say, "Ooh, that hurts too much." But see, you know, just like I use the analogy of working out. When you start getting sore, "Ooh, I got too sore. I ain't gonna work out no more. I can't even get out of bed." That's the best time to get out of bed, when you're sore. Best time to get up is when your emotions are weak and people are lying about you and hating on you. That's the best time to get up and say, "I don't care what people say about me. I'm blessed and highly favored. And I declare this is going to be a good day." See, the deal is that, see, when people start hating on you and start cursing you and saying stuff about you, you say, "Oh, I'm fitting in the right crowd now. Yeah, they hated Jesus, they hate me. And he said it would happen, so I'm passionate about Jesus." And when you're passionate about Jesus, people will hate on you. You say, guess what? I went to Walmart and laid hands on the sick and they recovered. They go, oh, yeah, right, sister. You just think, you know, it's because I'm passionate about God. That's right, because I'm passionate. And passion does not only breakthroughs in the natural, but passion does breakthroughs in the spiritual. See, when you're spiritually, you see doors and things open up for you. Heavens open up for you. Giftings of the Holy Spirit open up because you're passionate. And God doesn't want somebody that's not passionate. He don't want somebody with a limp handshake. You ever shake somebody's hand like, hi, brother? And they're like, doggone, that's a cold hand. What's wrong with you? You about to die or what? He don't want somebody like that. He wants somebody that is willing to be passionate for him. That's willing to seek his face and cry out to God when nobody else is crying out to God. Cry out for their neighborhood when nobody else is willing to cry for your neighborhood. When was the last time you got in your house and said, oh, God, save my neighborhood? Yeah, I know. Passion. Passionate people do that. Now watch. Psalm 73, 2 and 3. Now, I understand something before I read that scripture is that you can, you know, you don't necessarily, there's people that have been, they have been successful without God because they were passionate. Bill Gates, Donald Trump, you know, different people have been successful without God. But let me read Psalm 73, verse 2 and 3 says, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, but my steps had nearly slipped. Before I was envious of the boastful. When I saw the property of the wicked. You ever been there? Well, let me just tell you, but you got to hold on just a few more verses later. Because some people need to hold on. Just wait a few more verses and you'll see what happens. Psalm 23 verse 17 says, but until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. So tell to your neighbor and say, just hold on a few more verses and you'll see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, passion. Passion, the sufferings of Christ. Being able to suffer for what you want. As a church, as a body. Many times the reason we don't see the power and the presence of God show up because nobody's in one accord. I mean, come on, I've been in four revivals. I've been in three personal ones that I was involved in, that I was in the meeting and I showed up and God showed up before I did. And I just kind of entertained it while we were there. But it was because the people were passionate. If they weren't totally passionate and they were in one accord, because there's a time, and you'll see that close to the end of the service, when people get in one accord, all of a sudden God starts doing miracles. Bam, bam, bam. Popping up, people getting healed, people getting delivered, people getting saved. Why? Because people get in one accord. One, because two being congruent together, two agreeing on one thing. Touching and agreeing will be what? That's what he says. He said, if two touch and agree on anything, it'll be established. So when you become congruent with heaven and with God's word, then what happens is basically it's so easy. Even a caveman can do it. Come on. Even a Christian can do it. Come on, somebody. Talk about passion. Talk about passion. Now, passion is an affection, a love, a strong liking, or a desire for some activity, object, or concept. An object, a desire, or a deep interest. All these definitions come from the root word suffer, which means want something to or love something so much it hurts. Jesus loved you so much it hurt. Come on, you got to sometimes think about that. When you're going through your darkest hours, the dark night of the soul, you got to think, man, Jesus loved me so much it hurt. And when you start thinking of how much he's done for you, then don't ever think that he didn't do anything for you. Even if that's all he did was go to the cross for you, that was all enough I need. Amen. Let's talk about passion. Talking about something that totally hurts. Now watch, I'm going to tell you a joke. Okay, joke. Is it a joke? Can I tell you? Okay, I'm going to tell a blonde joke. If there's any blondes, please forgive me. If there's any fake blondes, well, hallelujah. A man, he was totally out of shape, totally out of shape. He just went by years, and he didn't realize how much out of shape he was getting. And he gained, you know, like 150 pounds, got out of shape. I mean, he'd wink at girls, and boy, they would just turn right there, man. They're like, ooh. He's like, hey, what's up, girl? And they're like, hey, what's up, man? But all of a sudden, he started to realize he'd do that, and nothing was happening. So finally, he said, man, he looked at himself in the mirror, and he, because, you know, you can start losing weight and don't realize that you're losing weight. And you can gain weight and don't even realize you gain weight. You're like, man, they must have shrunk my clothes at the cleaners. I always tell them, I say, hey, man, that shirt costs a lot of money. Don't shrink that shirt. They're like, oh, no problem. We got you. Don't problem. I said, dry clean and sizing only, please. I don't want to fade. I don't want to do whatever. Anyway, okay. So he got so out of shape, he went to the gym, and he finally said, he got with a trainer. The trainer said, will you do anything I tell you to do? Everything. He said, yes, I'll do it. I'm desperate. I got to lose weight. I'll do whatever. He says, all right, I'll be there at 6 o'clock in the morning at your house. So next thing you know, here's this knock on the door. And there's this beautiful girl standing there. Spandex outfit, blonde hair. I mean, she's just ready to go. And next thing you know, no, that was the other joke I was telling about the blonde. Forget about this one. Okay, now I'm going to tell the joke anyway. So this beautiful blonde-headed girl, so she's there, man, he's picture of loveliness. And she said, your trainer sent me over here, and he says, if you can catch me, you can have me. So, man, every day for 12 months, this guy's like huffing and puffing, chasing this girl. And he lost 150 pounds. He was in the best shape of his life. He was so excited. He said, oh, man, today, then I'm going to catch her. He was looking good, boy. He was ready. And so he thought, okay, the knock at 6 in the morning came. He slung the door open. He said, ah. And there was another woman that had gained as much weight as he had gained over the years before. And she said, your trainer sent me over here. He says, if I can catch you, he said, I can have you. That's passion. You never know what will motivate you to do something. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The French philosopher de la Rochefoucauld said, passionate people are the only advocate that always persuades. The simplest man with passion will be more persuasive than the most eloquent without. How about the words of the German philosopher Hegel? Nothing great in the world has ever been accomplished without passion. Passion is the reason some succeed and others don't. That just happened. Want something more. That just doesn't happen. They want something more than anyone else. Come on. Donald Trump said it this way, a great entrepreneur. He said like this, without passion, you don't have energy. Without energy, you have nothing. This is my favorite one right here. John Wesley said, when you set yourself on fire, people love to come see you burn. Now That's right there speaks. When you set yourself on fire, people will come to see you burn. How many of you have been set on fire where people want to see you burn lately? Come on, somebody. Come on. That's what passion does. You're willing to set yourself on fire to let people see you burn, but in the spirit. I like that because years ago, a friend of mine, Keith Miller, he saw me. He said, hey, man, I see a John Wesley anointing on you. And I said, really? Who's John Wesley? Because I didn't know at the time, really. I was like, you know. And I should know because he was a revivalist. And I was like, I should know who this guy is. And I didn't. But anyway, so when he prayed for me, it was like fire came all over me. And I was like, you know, have you ever been touched by God and you don't want to lose it? And you're just like, oh, God, just I don't want to take it. I don't want to lose whatever you're with. And I was just like this the whole time going to my car. Oh, God, please open the door by itself. Come on. I don't want to touch it. And I was, because I didn't want to lose nothing that was imparted to me, because I was in the lobby and I was like, I was literally humming inside, like, you know, yeah. And like I was back there last time I was here. And so I was, but I was on fire, not frozen. That office is cold. I was like, if there wasn't God in there, I would think the exorcist was in there. I was like, smoke coming out my, I was like, so I was like, and then after that, I was having a special revival service at my church when I was pastoring. And so Sunday night we had a revival service. And next thing I know, this young lady, it was weeks before that, a young lady looked like, I promise you, she looked like Barbie, like a small Barbie. I mean, beautiful young lady and her boyfriend. And they were, I was preaching to the homeless and under the Pierce Elevated in Houston. And they happened to be there, and God gave me a word. He said, call that couple up here. And so I called them up. And so, under the Pierce Elevated, there is urine. There is all kinds of dirt because it's a road, and homeless people live there. And next thing you know, so God gives me a word for both of them. Well, the girl, she's never been touched by God, ever. She don't even know what it is because she's a Methodist. So I said, God's going to touch you. And when I did like this, she flew back, fell on the ground, and just laid in some water. And I was like, hi. I was like, but she was out, so she didn't know. And the other guy, he went out too. Well, she got so drunk in the spirit that they literally had to pour her into the truck. I mean, they picked her up over the shoulder and was carrying her. And she was laying there, and she looked at me, I love you. I was like, dang, girl. She's like, I love you so much. Thank you. Thank you for whatever you did. I'm wasted. And she's like, what the heck happened to her? And so she went and told her Bible study group at her house that, hey, some guy, this Hispanic guy, prayed for me, and I fell out, and I got drunk, and all of a sudden she got drunk again and fell out. So they're like, I want some of that. So then they went and told their husbands, those ladies in that group told their husbands. So they all decided to show up at a meeting, and there's exactly 50 of them showed up at that church in the middle of preaching. I said, all I heard is, all right, already. And I said, huh, what? Stop preaching. And I said, that's never happened to me before. She says, we want the Holy Ghost and fire. And I said, what? And they all ran to the front. And they said, we want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. 50 people got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And the only way they knew how to go is they were going on mission trips to Honduras and getting into these encounters with God and coming back baptized in the Holy Ghost in their seeker-friendly church. They come back, you know, go to their seeker-friendly church, and they had this little group of they didn't know what was going on. And this went on every week. We had these special services. And, I mean, then I realized, oh, something clicked. John Wesley, Methodist Revivalist. Oh, that's what happened. So all of a sudden, they became passionate for God. Passion. Says, shut up already. I want to be touched by God. Don't say that now. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. We can be passionate about sports. We can be passionate about sports. We can be passionate about, I mean, they got books on passion. Passion for chocolate. Some of y'all understand that. Passion for rice. Passion for mushrooms. Not the kind you cook with, I hope. Passion for, you know, air. Passion for steam. Passion for football. Passion for basketball. They got different passions. They got books on it. But you know, Mother Teresa said she was admired for passion to help the poor. That's who Mother Teresa. She was admired for that. She had passion. She didn't mind being poor. to help the poor. Amen? Billy Graham said, if Christianity is anything at all, it's everything. If Christianity is anything at all, it's everything. Think about it. If God really does exist, if there is a hereafter where your spirit will live forever, if heaven and hell are real, if the Bible is true, if God truly wants to bless our lives, and if the Bible in his guide for more fulfilling life it hears on earth, the Christianity is the most important thing you will ever study. And God is the most important one you could ever hope to know or embrace. Mm-hmm. I believe when y'all went through y'all's fast, you put your face towards God. And anytime you put your face towards God, you push out the world and push towards God. You press towards the mark of the high calling. You press towards Him. Now watch. Hebrews 12:2 says, it reveals that the joy of the goal to set before Jesus enabled him to preserve through the sufferings and humiliation of the cross. Passion will help you go keep going when others quit and make you and keep trying when everyone else surrenders. That's what passion does. Have you ever noticed do you know a passionate person? They do things that other people don't want to do. And they don't quit. Getting there. When Jesus visited the temple, he saw a place of worship had been degraded by corrupt commerce. Come on, somebody. And he was so angry, he overthrew the money changers. That's passion. When you get passionate about the house of God, when you get passionate about the things that go on in the house of God, when you get passionate about the Word, when you get passionate about the Bible, when you get passionate about your walk with God, you take a cord, a whip, and turn over the money changers. You will get mad at somebody that talks about your Christianity. You'll stand and do things that other people won't do when people start talking about your Jesus. Christ's passion for God in his house would not allow him to act passively. John 2:17 says, his disciples remember that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. God rewards people who are passionate for him. Isaiah 53:12 says, therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he's poured out his life unto death. Let me read that again. Isaiah 53:12 says, therefore I will give him, point yourself, me, a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death. Too many people merely exist because they have no burning, consuming, soul-driven passion. I don't want to just exist. I want to be passionate for God. Without passion, you have no sense of purpose.
That's right.
I know people that have no purpose. You know, I've been doing life coaching and you know, personal training things for years, but the life coaching I just took up, and I'll ask people, what do you want to do with your life? I don't know. That's why I'm coming to you. I'm like, okay, well, what's your goal? I'll ask people that are in business, do you have a theme? Do you have a word? You know, do you have anything for your business? I mean, do you have a goal? You know, what is it? What are you passionate about? What are you passionate? And what happens is people, they if they're not passionate for God, if you're not passionate, you lose your purpose in the middle of it. Yeah. When you start going to church, you just say, well, you know what? I just missed a day. People are looking for your passion. Your neighbors are looking to see how passionate you are. Your family wants to see how passionate you really are for God. Because they're already saying, oh, that's just a phase. Yeah. And the phase went 1 year and 2 years and 3 years, and you're still going when everybody else is quitting. Amen. Come on. Amen. Because you gotta show your passion. I mean, I'm not talking about paint your face up and come to church. Well, some of you need to paint your face up and come to church, but no. but show your passion. I was with some young people yesterday, and they're just passionate. They're at their house, and they had the music going, and they were dancing around and just jumping. I'm just observing, just watching, like, oh, yeah, there it goes. Because I'm thinking, I'm old. You know, I'm watching them, but they're just so passionate because they know what Jesus did. You know, they were acting crazy, doing some crazy dances and stuff, and they're in their 20-something years old, and they're dancing and doing crazy stuff. And I said, that's what happens when Jesus gets a hold of you. See? You act crunk for Jesus. Come on, somebody. You get crunk for Jesus. You know, like, I don't care what people are looking at. I don't see what they're seeing. I'm going to get excited about Jesus. Come on. My worship is going to be more extravagant than yours. I don't move out of my... Sometimes you got to move people out of your way. Say, I don't care. Just like that brother and sister over here, standing here worshiping, praising God. And everybody else is like, they're too passionate. I used to do that, brother, but you know... Their fire go out soon.
That's right, amen.
Their fire go out. You know, I was there. Come on, somebody. Yeah, and it's true. But because I used to get like, wow. I walked in one church, and they were jumping and shouting and all that. And I was just crying because I'm like, wow, this is what it's really about. Amen. I want to follow somebody, something that's passionate like that. I want to be a part of that kind of stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Kings 19 and 19, and we'll read verse 19 and through 21. Elijah was a successor, a great Old Testament prophet. Elijah was a man of incredible passion. Am I right? 1 Kings 19 and 19 through 21 says, so he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12. Then Elisha passed by him and threw his mantle on him. So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people. And they ate. And then he arose and followed Elisha and became his servant. And Elisha went to pass the torch. He wanted to pass the torch to someone that with passion. Someone who had the same fire that he possessed. You didn't hear what I said. Elijah, being the prophet, was no easy assignment today. Today, it seems that the favorite way to spell prophet is P-R-O-F-H-E-T. Like the prophets of L.A. The preachers of L.A. Prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T. But those days, being a prophet could easily cost your life. Jesus said that in Israel, stoned the prophets and God sent them, meaning that the office of a prophet did not qualify for a long life expectancy. Come on. Elisha was looking for somebody that was with passion. He had not one yoke of oxen. He had 12. He's plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. That's passion. And Elisha saw him and said, that's the kind of person I need to drop my mantle on. How many of you, there's mantles that God wants to drop on, but you're just plowing with one yoke. You're not really trying to press in and push forward, and you put your hand to the plow, and you don't look back. Come on, somebody, you don't let go. Because, see, someone that's passionate will go after God with everything. And that's what Elijah wanted. He wanted to see something in that person. He wanted to see if they were going to quit, if they were going to give up. Watch this. Before a dream can be successfully become a reality, passion must always be tested. Before Elijah relinquished Elisha to his office as a prophet to the nations of Israel, he designed a test to determine if Elijah had a passion that he needed. Come on, somebody. On several occasions, on 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah, let me read it, tried to persuade Elijah to stay while he went ahead, but each time Elijah refused. See? Every time he said, look, I'm going over here to Gilgal. But he said, no. He goes, I'm going with you. He said, no, you stay. He wanted to see, listen to me, if he had some quit in him. See, God sometimes will test you to see if you got some quit. Because, see, we think it's the devil. The devil's making me quit. And God's saying, no, I want to see if you're worthy of the presence of God. I want to see if you're worthy of the fire. I want to see if you're worthy of the anointing. I want to see if you're worthy of the gifts of the Spirit. And he wants to see, do you have any quit in you? Oh, let me tell you something. I was stationed in Coronado Island with a group. I wasn't a part of them, but the Navy SEALs. And one of the things, the Navy SEALs, they go through this treacherous workout. They go through this thing. I don't know if you saw that movie. Did you see the movie? Lone Survivor. That's what he did. They drowned them and revive them. And then they say, too much for you? Ring the bell. All you have to do is ring the bell. Because they want to see if there's any quit in you. How many of God has been seeing if there's any quit in you? Come on, when you feel like quitting and you feel like stopping. And you feel like, oh God, I can't do it no more. I've been asking for more of the gifts. I've been asking for more of the power. But all of a sudden God said, let me test you to see if you're willing to follow me anywhere I send you. And I don't think some people are ready for that. But if you have passion, you'll do what other people don't do. You'll follow Jesus even if he says, go here, go there, do this, pray harder, sing harder. I want you to dance harder. I want you to fast longer. I want you to do these things that nobody else will do. Those Navy SEALs, they'll be drowned. We used to drop them off miles out in the middle of the ocean, and then they'd be bobbing in the water and had to swim for hours and find their way back to the ocean, back to the shore. And some of them would drown, but they'd find them, they'd catch them. Put them through Hell Week. Some of you, it's Hell Week every week. And God's saying, is there any quit in you? Come on, is there any quit in you? Because people that have passion don't quit. They have a desire to be exceptional, not be accepted. Come on, that's what the Navy SEALs, they're exceptional, they're not accepted. Elisha had to be exceptional, not be accepted. Come on. Because see, in order to be exceptional as a prophet, you have to not be accepted. As a prophet, you had to stand out. You had to do more than other people would do. Come on. You had to put your hand to the plow and you had to keep on going. Come on. You had to follow and wash the hands of the prophet. You had to wash his feet. You had to do things that nobody else. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in here right now that nobody else would ever do. You have to give more than everybody else gives. You got to do more than everybody. You got to give your tithes even if you ain't got the money in the bank. Come on, you gotta do more than everybody else will do. They said the house of God needs this. You say, I'm willing to get it because I know if I give in this year 2014, it's gonna come back to me. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over, then and men are gonna continue to give to my bosom. Come on, because when you expect it, that's when it happens. Oh, let me slow down. Hallelujah. Elisha, he honored God. He honored Elisha. Mm. Oh, I need to stop. Hallelujah. I guess I can stop right there. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, that whatever thing you so desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That word desire. Do you have passion to receive it? Desire is passion. There's many things that will try to hinder your passion. And I believe the devil's good at stopping it. But he ain't better than Jesus. Come on, because he'll put your passion somewhere else. 2014, your passion's got to be straight on God. You got to be focused and no hocus pocus. You got to put your hand to the plow and work in the kingdom. This is a year That many of your passion can prompt us to make a difference for God and families and the kingdom, literally change personal ministries this year. The world in which we live. The way we make life our very best can be found in God's Word. So if you're going to stick around, you might as well enjoy your life right now. Amen. To get from where you are now to where you meant to be demands breakthrough. This year, I believe the Holy Spirit is breaking through. He's already broke through for you. He's gone before you and made the crooked way straight. He's broke apart the bars of iron, Isaiah 45. He's opened the double doors of favor this year. I don't think you heard some of me. Because listen to me, if you really believed what I said, you'd be shouting louder than I'm preaching. Because I'm telling you right now, it's going to take some endurance. Because you're going to have to not look back. You're going to have to look forward. And you're going to have to press towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. No matter who falls at your right hand, who falls at your left hand, 10,000 and 10,000, it doesn't matter. You're going to press towards the mark. And get rid of the weight that said before you. You're willing to grip the cross and have splinters on the lips. Just so you can be hugging that cross, because it's only the cross of Jesus Christ that's going to set you free the rest of this year. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. It's going to take physical endurance, mental tenacity, true teamwork of this church. Come on, somebody. 2/3 of the class of the Navy SEALs don't make it. They ring out. I've known guys in Bud School that would literally have broken wrists or broken toes or broken ankles, and they would still go because they had passion. They wanted to do something that nobody else could do. They didn't care of what they had to go through. They didn't care about sleep deprivation, because God's seeing, is there any quit in you? Is there any quit? Because He wants to see if you're passionate this year. How many are passionate for God? Because let me tell you something. You notice that some people have quit, probably. You know, some people dropped out. Why? Because they didn't have passion. Because God wanted to see if there's any quit in you. Is there quit when you have cancer? Because if you quit, you'll die. Was there quit when you had diabetes? If you quit, you die. Is there quit when your money is running low? If you quit, you go broke. But if you have passion, nothing can by any means hurt you. If you have passion, angels will be at your assistance. If you have passion, God, the Lord of the breakthrough will be there. Are you willing to be passionate for God this year? Are you willing to do more than what other people are willing to do? Are you willing to keep going when everybody else is quitting around you? Are you willing? The one thing about the Navy SEALs is they had this thing, it's teamwork. And they see a brother dropping out, they said, no, come on, man. You can make it. You can do it. When was the last time you picked somebody up out of church on the way and you said, man, I don't feel like going to church today. You know, I'm hurting in my body. I don't feel good. And I feel like I'm away from God. I know that you're away from God, honey. But let me pick you. Let's go. I'm going to take you to the house of the Lord. And we're going to change that mourning into dancing. Come on, somebody. We're going to change. We're going to go into take off that cloak of heaviness and put on a garment of praise and go into the house of God. Hallelujah. And pull them out, dragging and screaming and almost dying. It's going to take a body to do that. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. You got blessed out of that?
Yes.
Amen. This is what I want this altar call to be like. Those of you that are passionate for God and want God to touch you in extraordinary, out of the ordinary, increase your passion and put that note, don't quit, on you. I want you to stand to your feet. And we're going to worship in this song, and then I want you to make your way to the altar. And God's going to touch you. I have about a few moments. God's good. Thank you. Lift your hands and worship Him.
This is the time when true worshipers worship.
Come on, worship. territory for so long. The power and presence of God is getting ready to ignite your passion.
When the Spirit comes,
we invoke your presence.
As we worship in spirit and truth.
Praise you, Jesus. Display. He's going to heal you. He's going to deliver you and set you free today.
This is the hour when the Spirit comes.
Say, put your passion on display, folks.
Oh,
power of God is all over this place. Come on, just receive it. Just receive it. You've got to yield to His Spirit. Just turn it down and just turn it low, number three, and just let it just cycle on number three if you can. Well, God's presence is all over this building. It's I sense it really strong up here on the altar. There'll be a number of you that once you come up, God's getting going to take some lifts and burdens that have been holding you literally down for several years, but this is your year that you receive double for your trouble. It'll be a year of perfection, double for your trouble. And actually, it's caused many of you some aches and pains in the body, and literally in different joints areas, neck area, things like that. And God's releasing that right now. You're gonna feel as you come up, you're gonna feel a release. Where you're gonna be able to just worship better, praise better, wake up better. Actually, people have been dealing with sleep apnea. God's getting ready to heal that. And yes, Lord, migraine headaches. There's people that have been dealing with migraine headaches for years. And you know what? God's getting ready to balance your hormone level out so those migraine headaches go away. And watch your adrenal glands reproduce in a greater way, be better for you. God's healing those areas, thyroid conditions. Just prepare as we come. But I want you to put your passion on display. Do I have a church that's passionate for God? That's what I want to see. So if you're passionate, I want you to come to the front. And if you need more passion, you need to get to the front. Get as close as we can without hitting the head. Just try to get in one line if you can. If not, the person behind you is about to be a catcher. Because God's presence is really strong. Jesus. Jesus. You're a mighty God. Sense His presence. Joy on you that you didn't have before. Last couple of meetings, God just been showing up with a spirit of holiness where people went back to holiness again. Spirit of holiness. There's iniquities that have been following people around for years. The spirit of iniquity that's getting ready to be released off of your life. Same old is going to be broken. Amen. Here we go. Who's catching? Lord, I thank you that you're breaking every yoke right there. Every yoke. Lord. He said, take a deep breath and then exhale and watch it go down. There it goes. You broke it right there. No more dealing with that. In Jesus' name. Oh, break it. Jesus. Jesus. Father, I thank you for a touch of God on His hands, God. Jesus.
more, Lord. Increase.
Double.
More, Lord.
Cancer, ask him for more. You want any more? Ask him for more.
More, Lord.
Fire. Passion. Fire of God on your life. Prosperity is coming to us in a greater measure. Prosperity all around. Downloaded into your life. There has been almost a season that you dealt with it seems like, I don't know why I keep picking up writers a lot, but it's actually just the enemy's lied and now, but you've been tried in the fire. And you felt at times that you're like the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, and God said, I'm just burned off all the ropes today. I burned off all that off of your life, and you're about to have an intensified teaching ability that's being downloaded that were years that you were supposed to release. You watch how I see even a women's conference coming. I see a women's conference, ladies hurting with burdens. Burdens coming with baggage that you're just going to unload off of them. You just, as you lay hands on them, it's going to lift off in the name of Jesus. I see young girls even coming to you, teenagers coming to you. Thank you, Lord. Touch your life. The fire of God. The fire. Just receive. There's the anointing of God. Oof. Go ahead. Yeah, that's the fire of God all over you. That's what you're feeling. That's okay. That's all right. That's it. It's powerful. That's it. Well, that's the fire you're feeling. It's all right. He's burning that dross out of you right now. He's burning it all out. He's burning it all out. You're going to be a new woman after the day, I promise you. A new woman. Yeah. There's been words that were not affirming over your life, but now I'm affirming you. Said God, you are blessed and highly favored. You are a blessed woman. You're beautiful beyond measure. I made you. I designed you. And you're a strong woman. You're strong. You're beautiful. You're desirable. You're a gem in my hand, said God. And there is a new fire on you right now that's healing your innermost part of your being. Just go ahead, take that. It's good stuff. Just go ahead. Let God operate on you. It's good. That's His fire. Yeah, your love for the Lord has been demonstrated. There's a new strength coming to you. There it goes. Jesus. Reacted too often to the distractions of life. God said, I am your attraction. There's a new zeal and fire coming to you. It's greater than the one you possess now. And every time, God, I heard God say, every time that you feel like the fire is going out, I want you just prophetically to just blow like they blow on a fire, and you watch how the fire is going to begin to increase in your life. I feel the power and energy of God all over my hand. There's a release coming. There it goes. That's it. It's going right through you right now. There it goes. It's like electricity. That's all right. There it goes. More, Lord. More. Turn it up. Turn it up. Turn it up. Fire of God. God's doing incredible things in you. Lord, I ask you to be healing on that hand right there. But a double portion of anointing that's coming to her. A double favor. Double favor. You've had so much grace for people. God's about to impart more love in you. For the unwanted, the undesirable. There it goes. Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the healing virtue of this woman of God. Jesus. Oh, worship Him. Don't watch me, just worship Him. Jesus, walk. Power of God, you're going to walk in this greater grace, greater anointing. Here we go. Here we go. There it goes, it's being released. Take that. There it goes. Go ahead, take it. Hallelujah. Woo. Passionate people get more from God. How you doing, sister? Feel good? Feel better when you came in? That's the whole point. Amen. Come here, young lady. She's like, don't pray for me. Okay, I won't pray for you. See him. God used her at a young age to prosper. That they won't have a need that she'll ever need. Because you are her source. You are her provider. heard the Lord tell me, he said, begin to ask me first before you ask mom and dad. And then you'll get what you're asking for to advance the kingdom. But ask him first. And then he'll speak to mom and dad. And then you won't get a car that breaks down. Hallelujah. Father, I ask you to increase the anointing on her life. To be a warrior princess for you. In the name of Jesus. Impact her life. Dreams and visions. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Lift your hands and worship him. Come on. Stay in that glory zone. In the glory is where everything happens. We're so easy about checking out before we check in. Come on. We're already committed. We're like, I got to go this, I got to go do that. Most important thing right now is to be in the presence. Stand shoulder to shoulder. Amen. Oh, wow. Mickey Mouse. I used to have a shirt like that. Is that mine? Hallelujah. You need more fun. You're not having any fun. Okay. Hallelujah. Lift your hands like you love the Lord. Lift your hands up high. Lift them high. Don't give this like halfway thing. See, everybody does halfway. All the way up. The other one too, this one. You can't? Huh? Does it hurt? No? It doesn't? Jesus. Jesus. All right, Lord. Bless. Bless. Passion. Passion. More, Lord. Lord, I ask you that there be no sickness amongst them. That they'll always walk in divine healing. That no germs land on them and stay on them. How you doing, little girl? You want me to pray for you? Sure. Okay. God, impact her life. Give her passion for you at a young age. In the name of Jesus. Bless her. Ooh. What'd that feel like? Huh? Think you're about to fall back? Close your eyes. Take that. Here it goes. Lift your hands. Lift them up high. Like, I surrender. Praise God. Now close your eyes. Fire on our lives. What'd that feel like? Kids can't fake it, amen? Hallelujah. How you feel, sister? Huh? No? You're on fire? You want more? More, Lord. Fire on your life. More, Lord. More, more, more. Set ablaze her family. Set ablaze her children. Set ablaze. Ablaze, blaze, blaze, blaze. Let her be a trailblazer for you. Fire on your life. Just receive it. Say, I receive. That's it. Take the layers off, God. Take the lid off. There it goes. I say, turn up the heat. Turn up the heat. Fire of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's good stuff, huh? You can't be the same after today, okay? You promise? There's no way you can. This deal. Once God touches you, you just can't be the same. Hallelujah. There was one of the meetings, those two young guys I was with him last night, and one of them was a Southern Baptist, and he's like, man, how come we don't do this in our church? Because they're in a community of people that don't believe in that. But when you're in a community of people that believe it, that's why, you know, you're peculiar people. Because you believe in healing. You believe in signs and wonders. You believe in miracles. And you're passionate about God. Yeah? Jesus loves you so much. Increase that passion. Hallelujah. Put your hands and worship. Hi, sister. Can we pray for you? Okay. Come on, follow me. Follow me. I want to see how bad you wanted it. Take it. Oh, there goes. Just pull on it. There goes. Pull on it. There goes. Pull on it. There you go. One, two, three. Receive. Thank you, Jesus. Double push. Double this year. Double this year. Asking for double finances this year. Come on, right now. I feel it in the atmosphere. Come on, everything that you had last year, let it be double this year. Come on, I want double. The double perfection. 14, double perfection. I just sensed it in the Holy Ghost. We ask for double. When you get double, when you give, you get double back. Come on, say, when I give, I get double back. I want you to receive it right now. The double doors opening for you. Whatever it is, financially, physically, mentally, emotionally, there are double doors being opened to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, glorify Him right now. What did you make last year that you want double this year? Come on. Hallelujah. You even want to pay double taxes this year. Come on. That means you make double the money. See, some people don't like to pay taxes. They say, I don't want to pay taxes. I got to get too much to the IRS. All it means is that you made a lot of money. Some of you, if you want to be millionaires, you got to expect to be a millionaire. God's raising up millionaires in churches this year. Come on, I'm going to be one of them. I'm not lying. I'm going to be one of them. I know it. But God's raising up millionaires this year in the house of God to pay off churches and build churches bigger than the ones they have, but larger than even their mind can think about, because there's going to be an infatuation of people coming in. Come on. He's raising up business owners to bless the house of God, where they don't worry about writing tithes checks for thousands of dollars. Come on. The whole body, not just one person. We're not looking for one person to walk in and write a big old check. He wants the body to be full, to overflowing. Where we're living in Amos 9:13 grace and anointing, where the plowman overtakes the reaper. Where we just sow with one hand and reap with the other. That's where He wants us. That's where we're at. We're in the last days. Hallelujah. That's why, because Jesus, like we were saying earlier, Jesus, He came to restore everything that last Adam lost. So what does that mean? That's why He said, if you give, it'll be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Well, men give unto your bosom. Because, see, in the Garden of Eden, there was no, if you plucked an apple came back. And that's how He wants us to be. Where we're not at any loss of anything. Are you getting that? He wants it to be, hey, if I give somebody something, I'm going to get it back. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It doesn't matter what you give away. If you give away a car, you give away a house, you give away, you know, something, God's going to restore it back. But you got to believe that you're going to get that. Most of the time, people don't believe that. And that's what the problem is in the body of Christ today, is the non-expecting that God's going to do anything. God's good. I say, well, we serve a good God. We serve a good God, amen? Somebody ought to say amen to that. Because we serve a good God. We got a God that's exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, God. He puts us in abundance, overflow. Overflow. He said, speak those things that are not as though they are. And a lot of times we see things in the natural and we go, oh God, I don't have enough. That's when we messed up. It's when you start speaking to your bank account. Come on. and you just say Kaya to that bank account. You know, and you begin to speak to your checkbook, you speak to your bio, you speak to the, you put the word on your finances, you put the word on your checks, you put the word on your cash, you put the word on your on everything, and you start believing that you already received. Like you said, when you do whatever you pray, you desire that you've already received. Well, we'll give Pastor Marty back the microphone. Hallelujah. Lift your hands one more time and say, bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. And let I don't know what Pastor Martin's going to do. We'll give you a chance to whatever he wants you to do. But you know, God just loves you so much. Let me tell you something, church. You're a church of His presence. You're a body of His presence. We're supposed to be living that way. And I believe that if you desire to live in His presence, all you have to do is wake up every morning and say, God, I just want Your presence. More than anything, I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Marty, for letting me come speak to the house. I hope you were blessed. I was so blessed coming. I hope that word encouraged you and brought you to another level. Where are my season changers in this house? Come on. Where are my season changers? Hallelujah. Amen. That's my...
Bless you, man.
Thank you.
Did he not confirm? I mean, just, I was through with you, man. I was through. We just talked about it Wednesday night. Wednesday night, the whole Elijah, Elisha, and everything. And the interesting thing that I want you to understand, as I was telling my wife, Wednesday night, I didn't have a message. I had no message. I didn't prep for it. I didn't do nothing. And then I went into the office and said, Lord, if you're going to speak to the people, you got to speak to them an hour. Speak. And that's when He took me to that. I had text messages this week concerning the message and the revelation about what God asked you in the middle of your transition. And I said, Lord, that's all You. And then to have Ray come in and to come just confirm everything that was just spoken. Now, it could have been that he could have come next month and just confirmed it, but you would have lost the meaning of what was being spoken. But what God did purposely was to come and to show you that God is speaking concerning you. That's a fast affirmation to you. It's one thing to get confirmation. Wow, that's amazing. We heard the same message. No, He's trying to affirm the message inside of you. So you don't let it just fall by the wayside. Hold on to it. And I so appreciate you falling by the Spirit, right? And I know you got to go and minister at another church here in just a minute. I want you, if you would please, to just give your all to God, one. And secondly, to bless the man of God with the love offering. When Ray comes, I want to just say this, and I'm just going to kind of just tell on Ray just for a minute, if you don't mind, Ray. Ray doesn't ask a dime for this. His lodging, no honorarium, nothing. And that's, you don't find that anywhere. It's hard. People would say, hey, I'm going to come preach at your church, but my honorarium has to be this. Well, you ain't coming to my church then. But he doesn't ask a dime. The only really thing, one thing he asked me is, hey, when are we going to get together and go work out? That's the only thing he's asked. Or go eat. But please, as they're handing out alms, it's just a love offering unto the man of God that is poured out. You can pour back into his life and give him what God has placed on your heart. Each time he's come, there's been a flow of the Spirit, which is normal in the house. That's how you know, like anointing is like mind, like Spirit. Yes, sir. If you're writing out a check, it's RMRC. RMRC. Just be obedient to God, and your obedience is such a blessing. And it's for you. The blessing's for you. I pray that you guys are not only blessed just by being in the presence of God. Watch this, Daniel. That CD that we were playing while he was ministering, that took me way back, didn't it, Mom? Back in the time when we were in the cave. Remember that, Janie? In the cave. my pastor said, you're going to learn how to worship. And we would listen to the whole CD laid out on the floor. And the word of the Lord came that Wednesday night. And God said he was taking us back where we once were. See, when I said I saw that CD, I said, Terry McCallman, I got all his music. And I said, well, you know, God, you're doing something. In that time of being in that cave, the sanctuary is probably about like this right here. That's it. And we would just get in the presence of God. We would hear angels singing. We would have angels visit us. We would see Jesus walking up and down at the altar. And people were activated into their gift. I said, Lord, you know, I miss you in that regard. What I said the other day, one can have a desire for a move of God. But if we can get some people, how you said, congruent, get into an agreement together to desire and to pull on the preacher. It wasn't until he got onto that whole thing about Elijah and Elisha in 2 Kings that you guys came awake. That brother could have been preaching from get-go if we would have been pulling on him. And I said, God, can we get back to that place where people will be hungry for you? So that when any minister comes up here, anybody comes to minister, it's not the person, it's the word that we're supposed to be pulling on. And you can make the preacher go in 6 different directions just to get you a word if you pull. Let me teach you about the supernatural of God. Our natural mind prepares for God, for the message. Our supernatural begins to lead us in the direction that is necessary for you. Thank you, Jesus. Demi, I know there's been a little bit of stuff going on right now. And it's been tough for you. I haven't talked to anybody. I haven't seen anybody. But I see a turmoil that is going on. It's uncomfortable for you. And I'm here to settle that chaos right now in Jesus' mighty name. I destroy the works of the enemy right now. And I declare unto you peace in your home, peace in your family. I speak about a unity within the family. And those that are coming against what you're doing, I declare unto them the naysayers will be yaysayers. And they'll understand that while you're pursuing after God in a new way, is a new way that you want something different and a change. You don't want to continue the same like you used to be. You don't want the family to go down the road that it used to be on. There was a road of destruction that was laid out before them. And you know that there's a better way. And God is saying, if you would just trust me with all your heart in this, because I have an angel that is assigned to you right now, and you hear her talking to you. You smell her walking into the house. You know she's there. And God says, I have sent her to you to give you strength once again to know, just as I fought while I was here and no one would come against me, I have given that unto you, and I'll pass the mantle and the torch to you. Don't take any BS from them anymore. Stand your ground and stand for what you believe, because I'm fighting with you, says the Spirit of the living God, and I'm going to bring you victory right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. We should be peeling the paint off of these walls with praise and adoration unto God for what he's already done. If God can reach into your circumstance and pull you up out of that time that you just couldn't see past anything no more, he can bring you out. You should be shouting God down, entering the gates of heaven with a shout of praise and saying, I'm not taking this stuff anymore. And if you got to fight with God, fight with him, because you're coming out changed, transformed into a new identity in God. Your name will never be the same, and you'll never see things the same way again. You have got to be hungry for God so that he can feed you. You've got to be thirsty for God so he can give you drink. But you've got to have a bulldog determination. I'm not leaving the same way. My life has changed today and forevermore. Come on, somebody. Come on. Give God a high five in the atmosphere. Say, God, I thank you. God, I thank you. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I love you, God. I thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Hallelujah. 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 Woo-wee.
sticks, David. I want real sticks. I want to feel it, man. I want to feel it. Watch this, watch this. Don't hit one or two chords. Play for what's in your spirit. It's in there and it's always been in there. Don't be scared. When you make mistakes, it's when you learn. Let it be drawn out of you. And you play that thing because you're playing for victory, for your family, for your brother, and you're praying right now. As you play, you're going to see your mama heal. You're going to see her change. You're going to see your sister give birth to her own child. And you're about to be an uncle by this time next year. You're about to be an uncle this time next year. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on. Play it, man. Play it. It's a glory, brother. Don't be afraid to play what's inside of you, man. It's inside of you. You tell that devil to get out. You tell that devil to get out of what's going on in your life. And you tell that devil, get out of my circumstance. You get out of this. And I'm making a change right now. And I'll drive them out with my praise. I'll drive it out with my worship. And you ain't going to take my children. I have my children. They will be with me. And I will fight for them. And I'm lifting up a banner that says, I have victory in God. And every time you hit that drum, man, you're telling that devil, no, no. Come on, man. Come on, man. When I get an understanding that God is speaking, we got to know that God speaks things into existence, but every now and then, He's got to come in and say, baby, wherever you decide to go, you can go. And everything that you're desiring in it will be paid for in full. You ain't going to worry about mama having to pay for anything. It'll be paid in full 100%. You won't even have to pay it back. God says, I'm going to do this thing for you. And whatever you design and wherever you want to go, you're not going to go there that season with nothing. You're going to go with what I've given you. You're a blessed woman of God. You're a blessed woman of God. And when the keys hit your hand, and it opens that door, that ignition's about to turn. And when that ignition turns, don't worry about where it came from, baby. It's because you've made a way for other people. You made a way for the parents to go ahead and stay in the sanctuary. Why am I in the back? Because I'm about to bring it to the front. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory. 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 Pastor Inez, you didn't fail. You didn't quit and you didn't give up. Don't let condemnation come over your life, because I'm taking that off of you right now in Jesus' mighty name. I have still given you victory, and you're going to walk in victory. And understand this, what I have spoken into your life is this. I'm getting ready to give you the pen, and that pen is in your mouth. And it is ready like a ready wine. And you're going to begin to write the things, the oracles of God that God has given you. And what you're going through right now is a season of learning, a season of understanding, and a season of revelation. You ain't quit on God, and He didn't quit on you. None of this quit, none of this quit, none of this has quit on you. And know this, that God is saying right now that you're about to see God come through for you. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, God. Oh, you're so good, Dad. You're so good. Gives birth. Love is one thing, but passion gives birth. Passion brings the ability
to reproduce. There is something reproducing in the atmosphere right now, and it's going to reproduce. Think it not strange when they say, I play this, I play that, and I want to be a part of this. If we got to move the first two rows to make room for the praise team, that's what we'll do. Because it's never been about who's on the first row. It's about those stepping into position. They're coming, man. All you got to do is keep doing. And as you keep doing, the spirit of excellence continues to rise. And when the cream rises to the top, it's only because it's been stirred from the bottom up. Keep doing it, man. Take charge. Take charge. Take your position and take them across to the other side. God, you're so good. You're so good. Come on, the next 30 seconds, all I want you to do is just thank God with your loudest praise, your loudest shout. Just thank God. Just thank Him. Just thank Him. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on, bring down the walls. Bring down the walls. Bring them down. Shout it down. This is the time. And this is your time. Bring it down. Bring it down. No more. No more. Come on. Come on. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. With the voice of triumph. I have given you the victory, says God. Now take down this very wall. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Woo. God, you're so good. I thank you right now for the opportunity to enter the gates with thanksgiving and to lay our burdens down. And as we lay our burdens down, God, I thank you that we can rise to the top. And when I cast my burden upon you, Father, I don't pick it back up. But I do exactly as Elisha did. I emptied of myself and I got naked before you, God. Before I put on a new mantle, I stripped myself of my old. And when I put on that new mantle, my double only came because I got rid of the old. So, God, I just thank you right now that you have allowed us as a people of God, as a remnant that is still here today. Even though it's a remnant, God, I can begin to do a new thing with a remnant. And Father, you brought the passionate people to the house today, and passion's going to reproduce passion. And Father, I even thank you, Lord, that there's going to be new intercessors raising up, Lord. And I thank you there'll be a people of worshipers that will stand into that position, and they'll stand in the gap for those that need to learn how to get into a place of worship. So Father, I thank you for the man of God and the word of God that has gone forth, and that these people come in to give unto the Lord right now as they give unto the man of God. I thank you for a measure, Father God, beyond measure, a measure beyond measure that is given back to them because they're being obedient. And Father, as they come and deposit into the chest, Lord, they're given unto the chest of God, and men shall get back into their chest. Father, I thank you in advance. I bless them, and they're coming and they're going. I speak blessings into their life, and I speak a turnaround blessing. A blessing that is Trans-Jordan blessing. Amen. Father, I just thank you that in that transition, and they're listening for the request, the opportunity to say, this is what I want. Yeah. Father, I just thank you right now, and I bless them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, that they walk blessed and they walk in victory, and that every naysayer that gets around them will be turned into a yaysayer. God, I just thank you. There's a turnaround blessing. And there's an unusual anointing in the atmosphere today. It's that unusual that breaks the usual attitude in our life. So, God, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name that they go in peace with the favor of God upon their life. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. You can